case of Szymanski against Cook County.
May it please the Court.
Bridge.
This case, Szymanski rhetorically asks this Court, how long do I have to pay? How long do I have to pay for bringing an action under the EEOC statute? And how long do I have to pay for winning a case against county? Respectfully submit, Your Honor, that in this case, Ms. Szymanski has continued to pay to the present date. Now, the question I think at bar is a narrower one, and that is whether the trial court erred in determining that plaintiff was required to establish and prove an adverse action in order to state a claim under the anti-retaliation provisions of Title VII, the 2000 E3. There is no question in this case, and any fair reading shows that the district court in fact did that. At page 16, for example, the court observes that plaintiff has engaged in protected activity, but it asks the question throughout the brief and here, what is less clear is whether plaintiff can show she suffered an adverse action. Now, the simple fact is that the anti-retaliation provisions of Title VII is not limited to adverse actions per se. Rather, this circuit's test, as well as the recent Supreme Court case in Burlington in 2006 June, and I'll give it to you straight, is whether a challenged action on the part of the defendant, quote, may well have dissuaded a reasonable plaintiff from making or supporting a charge of discrimination. That is to say, does the defendant's action, when looked in a totality, have a reason to likely to defer or to deter that plaintiff from proceeding under Title VII? Now, in this case, Szymanski would have been much better off had she been discharged, left the employment of the county, and said nothing. That is to say, I left for educational reasons. And why do I say that? Because Szymanski wins a case in front of a jury, never gets her job again, never gets considered by the county, which the trial court never looks at, how many times she reapplies and is ignored. But moreover, that career is effectively and is today over. That is to say, everywhere she
but
went.
She's been working quite a bit at this other hospital.
The district court makes an error with respect to that, Your Honor, and I might add, the district court says Ms. Szymanski is now full-time employed at St. Mary's. In fact, the deposition testimony in the record shows that she's part-time only and without fringe benefits of any kind. So that's the best she could have has been able to do up to this point, get a part-time job.
So when the district court said that she's working full-time, that's an error?
Yes. Yes, Your Honor, it is.
Because she has a footnote in her opinion about sort of being puzzled by the fact that she was looking for other jobs or says she was available to take other positions part-time while working full-time.
She was seeking full-time employment, merely was able to get part-time without any benefits, and that's simply an error by the court. Ms. Szymanski really complains here about a pattern practice on the part of the defendant, and it traverses a number of years. Now, as we know from the record, in April of 2002, she litigates her case against the county and loses. Within 3 weeks after that loss before the county, and after 23 years of uninterrupted, excellent service as a nurse practitioner, she's fired. She's told you don't meet the minimum requirements because you don't have a collaborative agreement under state law. Suddenly, 3 weeks later, she goes in and files unemployment count. The county comes in and says you were fired for misconduct. When Dr. Raba is asked under his deposition whether there's any evidence whatsoever of misconduct, he said absolutely not. It must be a mistake. All right, she goes on. I got to find another career. I'm fired. She goes to interim health care. He testifies, I got a job for $55 an hour. I'm back in it. I'm there. Dr. Raba signs in August 2002 a statement that, well, she didn't meet the minimum job requirements to be a nurse practitioner. There's no question that Dr. Raba signed that. The plaintiff says, I never got another contact after Dr. Rabe indicated that the reason I no longer worked at the county was because I didn't meet their job prerequisites. All right. The district court, I might stop here and say, the district court says there's not one scintilla of evidence in this record showing that Dr. Rabe communicated with any prospective employing units. The court had to and did, in fact, overlook interim and the next one, integrated health. In February 2003, she testifies and, in fact, she's hired. Says, I get an ID badge. I've got another job. I'm on my way. Subject, of course, to the confirmation of her references. Now, there's a lot in the record, depending on who you believe, but we get to the point where our girl Campana, who represents Integrated, said, well, I got a good recommendation from Dr. Reba, and that's true. I really didn't care about the fact that she sued the county. But when we get Dr. Rabe in his deposition again, I said, Dr. Rabe, did you tell Integrated, as you did interim, that she was terminated and that the reason was she didn't meet minimum job requirements? He said, well, I may have. So on the one hand, we have, oh, by the way, she was good. She did her job. She attended her job. She'd worked there for 23 years. Oh, but on the side over here, by the way, she's also been terminated and she's suing us. Now, I asked Dr. Rabe again in his deposition, and it comes into the heels of my client finally going, you know, there's something wrong here. So she goes to Hunter, which is a reference checking firm. And my client is just a little bit suspicious because she's not getting jobs, and Rabe is obviously, or someone for the county is telling people about her litigation history. And Hunter calls up Dr. Rabe, and as far as Dr. Rabe knows, he thinks it's just another employer. And the report of Hunter is clear. Rabe says, let me tell you something. She's not going to get hired here again until she gets a collaborative agreement. She was terminated, and there's just no question that that's a fact. And I'm not going to lie about it. I'm going to tell you that's the way it is. She was terminated, and that's the way it is. She didn't make the grade. And tells Hunter, and by the way, there's also litigation, a lot of it against the county. Now, Hunter is interesting because although that's not an employer per se, when I sit Mr. Dr. Rabe again down, I said, Doctor, there's something that bothers me. Do you think you might have told interim, and do you think you might have told integrated the same things that you told Hunter? He said, yes, indeed, you know, I was consistent. I don't recall all the conversations I had with prospective employing units, but I was consistent in what I said. I said, by consistent, you mean you believed you had a right to disclose to those individuals the fact that she was terminated? And the answer was, of course. Now, even after my client wins her case in front of a jury, the reasoning of that jury is, you know, when you told her, the plaintiff, and prospective employers that she was terminated because she didn't have a collective or a collaborative agreement, that jury came in and said, that's pretext. You know that's pretext. And they awarded her back pay and front pay, finding that to be an unbelievable, implausible statement. Now, after that, my client goes to the University of Chicago Hospitals, and that's the fourth one after the jury verdict. And at that point, we also have a scenario where my client indicates she spoke to the person and she said, you know, I'd like to hire you here and refer you to these various hospitals, but I can't. You're fired. We get down to asking the question again. Did Dr. Rabe do anything to communicate that? I can't prove that he did, but I can prove what he said. I was consistent. I did say the same thing. And I think that tells the story, because even after Judge Kaur in the district court said, cleanse that file, don't mention the litigation, he does so. And when he's asked at his deposition, why did you continue to tell people about this litigation, he said, nobody from the legal staff told me not to. I figured it was fair comment. August 2002 through September 2004, my client repeatedly applies for the county jobs that are posted. Not once is she brought in for a job. And this is a funny fact, because at the remedy stage of her first trial, the county brought in expert witnesses to tell us that there was an extreme shortage of nurses, nurse practitioners and nurses, and that as a result of that extreme shortage, she should get a very small front pay award. And she did, a year. That same county, after, and the record shows, at least 15 jobs at the county she applied for, not once was she called back to address this extreme shortage. I submit to the court that this is a continuing practice by the county. They haven't learned, having been chastised by the court and found to be retaliators. This retaliation continues today.
Mm-hmm.
I thank the court.
Thank you, counsel. Ms. Metter.
Good morning. Lisa Metter on behalf of Cook County. A few things in response to plaintiff's counsel. At summary judgment, plaintiff bears the burden to present admissible evidence to sustain her claim. Judge Pallmeyer evaluated every claim presented by the plaintiff in this matter and found that no admissible evidence was presented. The court did not overlook any of these potential employers. The plaintiff, first of all, 6 months after she was terminated from Cook County, was employed at Little Company of Mary Hospital. There seems to be some dispute as to whether that was full-time or part-time. I would submit to you that it is inconsequential because she was hired by at least two other agencies after her termination. Interim Healthcare and Integrated Health Solutions both employed her. In fact, Integrated Health Solutions, upon the deposition of the president of the company, testified that she still could work there. The reason that the plaintiff had not been placed was because she didn't give her availability to work, and that was her requirement to do. And that as of the date of her deposition, she could go. All she had to do was update her file and give her work availability. She didn't do that. There is no evidence from any of the other presented regarding any of the other potential employers that they would not hire the plaintiff. We have simply plaintiff's claim that she was not hired. Plaintiff also claims that she wasn't hired by Integrated or Interim, and the record clearly shows that to not be true, that the plaintiff was hired and could be placed, but the burden was on her to give her availability. Plaintiff claims that Cook County and Dr. Raba have retaliated against her by blackballing her to potential employers, and that simply can't be reconciled with the facts here. She was employed 6 months after she was terminated at Little Company. She was employed by Little Company and Mary Hospital. She was hired by at least two other agencies. There is no evidence that's been presented of any negative references by Cook County or Dr. Raba. In fact, Dr. Raba's references for on behalf of the plaintiff were very good, good, fair, and in fact were instrumental in her being hired. That seems completely contradictory to plaintiff's claim that he's blackballing her. Further, there's for several of the employees, Advocate, Loyola Hospital, Northwestern Hospital, UIC, there's no evidence at all.
Any evidence in the record about the ratings that Raba gives to other former nurses?
No, sir. There is no evidence. There is nothing in the record about any other.
In these retaliation cases, you compare the treatment of the retaliated, the person supposedly retaliated against, with the treatment of other people. And if we don't know whether RABA rates other people excellent while rating the plaintiff fair, it's hard to know what the rating reflects.
Well, I think, Your Honor, that in and of itself, a reasonable person in looking at a job evaluation or an employee evaluation, when there's excellent, good, fair, and poor, certainly when someone is evaluated at good or fair or given very good recommendation.
I have no idea what the norm is in this business. I have no idea whether Dr. Reba is from Lake Wobegon, where everyone is above average. So a fair rating is about the lowest anybody could possibly get. And without comparative evidence, we're kind of at sea.
Well, but fair was not
I
the lowest.
I understand your position. You're the defendant. It's the plaintiff's burden. But
right, but what I'm talking about is this reference form for interim health care. This is this one reference form that was completed does give the scale. The scale is excellent, good, fair, and poor. There was no rating of poor. They were all good, and they were or fair. And there is further for the integrated, the vice president, the nurse recruiter, testified that he gave his reference for her was very good and that it was instrumental in her being hired. So I would submit to you that there is no evidence that any negative job reference has been submitted. Further, it is plaintiff's burden to show that similarly situated employees were not treated the same, and there is no evidence that was presented here to show that of any similarly situated employees. Further, there's no evidence that any false information was communicated to any potential employer or that any potential employer did not hire the plaintiff based on any statements from Cook County or Dr. Reba. For most of the employers that the plaintiff claims, there was no evidence of any communication at all with Cook County or Dr. Reba. I also would like to point out that I do find it curious that plaintiff claims that Dr. Reba, upon her leaving, said to her, "You'll pay for this for the rest of your life." And yet, after working 19 years at Cook County, this is the person she chooses to use as an employment reference. She worked for him for less than 2 years. I think it was actually less than a year. And yet this is the person she chooses to use as her employment reference. It just can't be reconciled. And further, her claim that she's being blackballed by him can't be reconciled with his actual favorable references of her. With regard to the University of Chicago, the nurse recruiter at the University of Chicago testified that she did not speak with Dr. Reba, and she was not advised that Ms. Szymanski was fired for misconduct. That's completely contrary to what plaintiff is claiming. Plaintiff is claiming that she was advised these things. The witness states, no, she did not so advise her. With regard to Hunter Enterprises, the statements that were made by Dr. Reba to Hunter Enterprises is a reference checking company. It is not an employer. And counsel stated that Dr. Reba, in his deposition, was questioned about his consistency of statements. And counsel said that Dr. Reba testified the statements he made to Hunter were consistent with what he gave to the other potential employers. That's not true. Dr. Reba testified that the statement he gave on the referral to interim health care that the plaintiff was left because of an administrative change in minimum job requirements, that was his consistent statement, not the statements made to Hunter Enterprises. I think that plaintiff is going down the wrong path with regard to Judge Kaur's order with regard to the expunging of the personnel file. Dr. Reba did not have the personnel file, and again, This is the person that the plaintiff chose to put down and have the potential employer's contact for a reference. There is no connection between the failure to expunge plaintiff's personnel file and any refusal of her to be hired. Furthermore, the plaintiff claims that you don't have to have adverse employment action in order to sustain a claim for post-termination retaliation. I submit that the plaintiff doesn't sustain her burden to show that there was any direct or indirect evidence of any negative action on the basis of anything from the county or Dr. Raba, and there is nothing, no evidence of anything not in the form of a job action. For these reasons, I would request that the plaintiff's appeal be denied. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.